It's a new edition of Game Misconduct. Welcome. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Follow us on all social media, except Instagram. We're having an issue with that right now. Follow at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Nice little homestand here.
It is.
I'm happy to have a little bit of a break.
I mean, yeah. I mean, basically, I love the way this team is. Okay, we're going to talk about Saturday's Ottawa situation.
Right, and we're going to have our guest on later in the show, Greg Linnelli.
Yay!
Who we love.
Everybody loves Greg.
Everybody loves Greg. So he'll be coming up later in the show, but let's talk about this little homestand between you and I here for a minute. It was nice.
Yeah, it was. You know, especially because they were on the road. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, and it was just like, ugh. And you're getting alerts on your phone at midnight. And you're like, hey.
Yeah, okay. I hate when they're on the West Coast.
I know.
So late.
It was good to be back at home in front of the, 160-something straight sellout.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's amazing.
It's great.
It's great. It's great. It's great. And so, of course, I don't know if I want to do like a hot stove topic. Okay. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the hot stove thing. But I do think that, briefly, I will say this. It's disappointing when you lose a game.
Absolutely. I'm not used to it.
And that's exactly what I was about to say, because we're very, very spoiled. We're not used to it, especially in the way that they lost.
Right.
It kind of stung a little bit.
Yeah. They were behind. They were ahead. We're talking against Ottawa.
Ottawa. And I think that's a little disappointing for people, but you got to think that was the first loss in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
It's very impressive. And, you know, they went into Ottawa and won there. It was Matthew Joseph's first goal, which...
We got to talk about that. But Ottawa came to play.
They did.
In Tampa. And they've had some issues this last week with an Uber ride being leaked. If you didn't see that, just kind of the Cliff Notes version, a bunch of players were in the back of an Uber in a city. There was a camera rolling. The video got released. They were bashing a coach and some stuff. And you can't take that stuff back. But it kind of brings up a bigger conversation about privacy wherever you're at and how you just always always assume that a camera or audio is rolling.
Especially now, because that's what the Uber and Lyft drivers are doing.
Right.
They're recording it for themselves.
For safety of themselves.
Right.
But I guess this guy figured, hey, I might have a chance. I don't know. The team apparently knew about it before it was released. I don't know if he was trying to extort money out of them. And they didn't. And because what happened when it came out last week, they said, hey, look, we knew about this video. We had already handled it internally, but now it's out for everybody to see. And it was just kind of interesting. So it's a whole thing. I mean, players are going to be very conscious of where they're at and who's on video and camera and all that now, because everybody's got a video camera on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
It just brings up a very interesting topic of privacy. But so they're coming off a week where it was kind of wonky anyway for them.
And it's been wonky through the offseason.
Right.
Because of their Carlson.
There was a
really
lot of stuff
tough,
going on with that team.
Tough situation there.
So, you know, nobody's really sure how they're going to handle it.
Right.
But they handled it pretty well last night coming in. So, yeah, we were ahead. Or we were behind, then we were ahead, and then we were behind again. And it just was... It was a little wonky, but they definitely came to play.
And Braden Coburn strikes again.
It's just like, okay. It's like, okay, Braden, when are you going to score this time? I mean, usually we're talking about another Braden point.
Right. No.
Nope. And Victor Hedman back, and he scores a goal, and that's
great. It's weird because, you know, we were talking about this beforehand that, you know, every time we kind of mention something every week this season for our new fifth season... Something like it's like we have a crystal ball.
They're going to start calling us Mrs. Cleo's.
But do you remember what
Miss Cleo.
I don't remember if it was one of our very last segments last year. I took my kids to the Bolts Family Carnival.
Right.
And the player that they spent the time with and played the games was Braden Coburn.
Right.
And then, I was like, he was the nicest guy. Like, you cannot imagine. He is honestly the most genuinely nice guy.
Yeah.
And now look at.
He's having a great season so far. And then last week we mentioned Matthew Joseph. Oh, and okay. So a little peek behind the curtain. We record on Sunday mornings because we both work on Mondays. So we don't do the show live.
Well, yeah.
So
it's 5 in the morning.
Yeah. yeah, I've done that before. I'm not doing it again. So we were talking about Matthew Joseph. They had a game that night in Ottawa. You know, we're just saying with Corey Long, we're talking about how, you know, once he gets going, he's really going to, it's just going to come. It's just going to happen. And, you know, of course, that night he scores his first goal. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
And Corey, of course, retweets it and yeah. it, like, directs it at us.
Yeah. So, and now he's... We said it. Once said he gets it. One, it's going to start coming.
I feel that way.
I mean, that was, he like skated the puck all the way around, wrapped it around, and came out to the front, scored. It was just crazy.
And that's amazing. What Coach Cooper said. He said, these things are going to happen when you put yourself in these good positions. Yeah. You're not going to get everyone.
Nope.
Unfortunately, that's the way it happens.
Yep.
But when you keep putting yourself in the in good situations,
yep. it's going to
come.
You
do get rewarded.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're seeing from him.
Yep.
I feel Anthony Cirelli,
I just think he's a playmaker. Like yeah. he just does yeah. things to make things happen.
He kind of has been a little, I think not maybe here, not amongst Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, true blue fans.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
Really. But I think he doesn't get enough credit outside because...
No. And there's so many
that.
Superstars.
Yeah.
I mean, really. Who are you going to put on the side? Like, when you think of, okay, putting people on the side of the building, who are you going to pick?
I know.
You know, of course, Stamkos is going to be there.
Sure.
And Kucherov and Hedman mm-hmm. and Johnson and Palat and Vasilevsky.
Yeah.
But you could just as well put a Cirelli
yep.
or a Kilorn.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's why we have so many different players on the sides of all the buildings and on the flags, because they're just, we have so many amazing players.
It's crazy.
I mean, we really have four lines rolling.
Yeah, four lines. I mean, just... You know, most teams go three.
Right.
Everybody has a fourth.
And teams have three defensive lines to really pair up.
Ours is no. It's literally four lines of superstars.
And it's not so much just the center on that line as a sniper or whatever. It's any guy could score on any line.
It's unbelievable.
It's a tragedy of riches, really, when you think about it. And we're just lucky that we get to watch it every week. So,
yeah.
All right. So you want to jump into our guest?
Yeah, let's do it.
We're joined by our guest, Greg Linnelli of Lightning Power Play. Hi, Greg. How are you doing today?
Ladies, I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Even though we're coming off a loss, it's okay. You know, we've won a bunch of other games. So let's kind of actually tell people where they can hear your amazing voice, because it's on all the time, everywhere, and where they can find you on social media so they can yell at you when they don't agree with you.
Well, I do apologize for my voice today. I'm a little under the weather. The little one got sick, so you know how that usually goes.
Oh, no.
So dad's playing hurt. But if you want to hit me up on Twitter, you can, at Greg Linnelli. And Lightning Power Play Live airs 6 to 7 on most nights, Monday through Saturday. And we talk for an hour, breaking down the latest Lightning and NHL news.
And you also have a Lightning Roundtable I saw, like on Facebook Live.
Yeah, we do. That's in conjunction with Lightning Power Play Live. We try and do that, you know, once or twice a week if we can, with Brian Burns, Jay Retcher, and Eric Erlandson. And it's kind of unique because it's, you know, four guys that are just talking about the Lightning in a way where we give our opinions, we can interact with each other, and you know, obviously if the audience wants to get involved, they can do that too.
Hey, if you ever need a little female energy, you know where to find us.
Oh, that's right. I like that.
All right, so let's talk about the last couple games. Yes, we've won most of them, but the slow starts, they're starting to really bother me, where we kind of dig ourselves into a hole and then have to dig ourselves out. What do you attribute that to, if anything? And I feel like it's something that we've talked about before in prior seasons, and it's just kind of one of those characteristics of the Lightning, and I thought maybe we had gotten away from it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to become a little bit of a trend, for sure. I think it's, what, 6 out of the last 7 games?
Yeah.
We sit here and record today, so, you know, that's something they want to fix. I think for the Lightning, they've just got to understand that most teams look at Tampa Bay as the team to beat, and they're going to come out ready to go. And Tampa Bay just has to adjust to that. Now, to their credit, they've done a good job adjusting in the second and third periods because they've won the majority of their games. But, you know, as the season progresses, and even when you get into the playoffs, you don't want to make a habit of getting down early. So I think the Lightning just have to understand that most teams, when they play Tampa Bay, they're going to come out with their best. And, you know, they're going to have to start matching that a little bit.
Yeah, I was definitely going to say that, that we're getting the best of these teams. We're not getting, you know, oh, going into Tampa Bay. I mean, these guys are playing the Lightning almost at a playoff level. I mean, Ottawa played really well. It's not like they just, the Lightning didn't play well. Ottawa played well. They were kind of giving the Lightning like everything they had.
Yeah, and they played well when they faced them 6 days ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I was going to say the Islanders played well too.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has played at Tampa Bay early on pretty well. Now, look, it's an 82-game season, so I try and take a look at the big picture with the Lightning. I'm not going to overreact too much. I think if they're starting to develop this trend late in the season or even in the playoffs, then yes, I think, you know, that's a bigger issue. But let's see how it plays out. I think, you know, they're still trying to feel their way with the line combinations they have right now and getting used to, again, teams coming at them as if this is a Stanley Cup final. Mm-hmm. So I think for the Lightning, it's just adjusting, understanding that it's something we have to stop doing, but I'm not going to panic yet.
Yeah, and I noticed that even when it happens, they don't panic. It's kind of like they get back on the ice for the next shift, and they're determined to put one in the back of the net, which is impressive.
Yeah, and I think that's why, you know, a lot of people like Tampa Bay to go really far in the playoffs. It's because when you have a deep team, and they do, like lines 1-4, they can score. And so I think when they get down 1-0, 2-0, even 3-0, I think there's a sense that we have enough firepower, we can come in and chip away. Plus, we have an elite goaltender who gives us a chance every night to win. So I think that's just a product of the makeup of their team, how deep they are. But, you know, as we said before, once the playoffs start rolling around, and I know that's far away right now as we sit here, but you definitely don't want to make a habit of getting behind 1-0.
Okay, so let me ask you something, because I didn't mean to sound like I sounded like very attacking when I said that. Let me ask you something, Linnelli. I didn't mean it that way. I've noticed that, and maybe let's be real here. This was like their first loss to an Eastern Conference team, you know, the Ottawa. So it's not like, it's kind of difficult when you talk about the Lightning, you know, you personally every single day. And, you know, we do it once, twice a week or whatever. It's hard because we look at this and go, this is not really a true snapshot. But I'm going to say this because I think I have noticed this. In the third period, they've seemed to be kind of taking their, like, playing off a little bit. Not just against Ottawa.
You mean taking their foot off the gas being more conservative? Which
no,
one?
I feel like they're even though they're coming back on these wins, it seems like it's, you know, it's like they're not playing with the same, like, chutzpah that they were playing, you know, in the second period. The Lightning are a second period team. I feel like that's where they shine. But the third period, especially in Ottawa, and again, it's hard to say this because they don't lose often, which is not a problem. But they did give up a lot of goals in the third period.
Well, I think some of that is, you know, the product of them leading probably once they get to the third period, because you mentioned the second period is really, really good. And so teams are just pouring everything they have to try and, you know, tie it up and take the lead on Tampa Bay. So
The other team than it is the Lightning, basically.
I do. You know, okay. I think sometimes we have a tendency to not give the other team credit when they beat the Lightning. Look, the Lightning are a good team.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're not the Montreal Canadiens of the 1920s where they never lost.
Well, they only played against 12 people.
I know. It's a salary cap era. Every team has flaws, even though the NBA is pretty small. But, you know, sometimes, like, I thought Craig Anderson for Ottawa was really good. And I think Tampa Bay was a little bit off, but I'm going to give credit to the other team more than I'm going to say, well, Tampa Bay didn't do the things they needed to do to win.
Okay.
I think the other teams would look at the other way when Tampa Bay's beating them and say, look, the other team has something to do with it. So things to work on for sure, but sometimes I think we have to take a big picture approach and say the other team gets paid too.
Yeah.
They made some plays, and in a salary cap era, you're not going to be perfect. No team is.
I expect perfection. That's why I'm not a coach in the NHL. All right. So we've kind of been getting everybody's take early on this season on kind of not a surprise for the team, but maybe a surprise for affecting the team as he has so early on is Matthew Joseph. Really the only new real consistent piece to this team from last year. Gosh, this kid, I mean, we said it last week when we recorded, we're like, when that kid gets his first one, it's just going to come like nothing you've ever seen before. And it really kind of just, you know, he got that first one, he got the monkey off his back, and it's just, I mean, he had a great goal against Ottawa Tampa the other night.
He had two. He's like the Senator killer.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on him and the role he's playing on this team already this year?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Joseph, the speed doesn't go into a slump. So every game, he's going to create chances just because he's so fast. He might be the fastest guy on the team.
He accelerated the other night against Ottawa. I don't know what the play was, but he got it out of our defensive zone, and he just accelerated, and I thought I saw steam coming out of his skates.
You might have.
It was incredible.
He's a really fast player. He's a skilled player. This is a credit to Tampa Bay for developing these kind of guys. So when they do come to the NHL, they're ready to play. Look at a guy like Brayden Point, Yanni Gord, guys that can skate, you know, guys that can finish. And Joseph's a big part of that. That third line is starting to develop into one of the better third lines in the league. Sorelli's still a young player, as we know. Kalorin's kind of that veteran presence on that third line. So I don't know. I really like Joseph. I think if he continues to impress, I think it's going to be interesting to see what they want to do because he's got the skill set, I think, to play in the top six.
Mm.
I don't know if they want to tinker with the lines too much, but we've seen John Cooper do that. And I think the more Joseph shows his ability to finish at the NHL level, I wouldn't be surprised if John Cooper every once in a while puts him up with one of the top two lines. Now, the second line, I'm not sure you tinker with.
Okay.
They've been really, really good. We know Andre Palat's still injured, so there's the question of where would he go. But maybe Matthew Joseph is a guy down the road, if he continues to play well, could he play with Stamkos and Kucherov?
Oh, wow.
And I think that's something that, you know, it gives John Cooper some flexibility. Now, again, he's a rookie. You don't want to put too much pressure on him. Maybe just keep him on the third line because he's performing really well. But, you know, sometimes you reward guys who are playing well, and maybe you do that down the road.
And we've seen Brayden Point. I mean, he's done it with Brayden Point, put him up with Stamkos. So it's not out of the question that, you know, if it's working and the chemistry's there and the production's there, and I think the effort, because that's the one thing Cooper always says about Joseph is, you know, directly after the Ottawa game, he was asked about it. He said, you know, when you put yourself in good position, these things will happen. You're not going to, you know, the puck's not going to go in every time. You could be, you know, Steve Stamkos, you know, one of the best shoot, you know, snipers in the league. Not everyone goes in, but when you put yourself in positions that, you know, you're increasing your chances. And I think that's what to us, like what felt he keeps so close. He's so close. That once it happens, it'll be kind of like riding, you know, that first time you get on a bike, you start pedaling and your dad's not holding on to the back of you anymore. Like it was just going to be that type of feel. And I think we're really seeing that aside from the fact that, you know, he's had, you know, both, there are two of his goals coming in Ottawa. So maybe he's like, maybe they're his arch nemesis or something.
That's the team he owns right now, the Ottawa Senators. No, right. But I think everything he said is right on. I mean, he's a skilled guy. And like I said before, the thing with Joseph, you know, some players, they'll tell you, you know, it's just not happened for me this particular game. For whatever reason, I feel a little bit off. The puck's just jumping off my stick. But for a guy that young who has those kind of wheels, that really doesn't go into a slump. So you got to figure every game he's going to create a chance just because of the speed. And I think that's what John Cooper really likes about him. Plus, if he starts to finish, you know, the sky's the limit for him right now.
And you know what's so funny is that the Lightning have always been looked at as being a fast team as it is. This guy's even faster. Like, he just leaves Stamkos, everybody in the dust, really. And even Brayden Point, who was in the NHL All-Star, like, fastest skater thing. Like, I really think Matthew Joseph, if he's sent there this year, he's going to get that. It's just insane, his speed.
He may. I mean, Brayden Point, I think, opened up a lot of eyes last year. I still think Brayden Point may be the fastest guy on the team. He just gets to so many loose pucks, and, you know, that's probably another topic we can get into, Brayden Point and his role on this team as it continues to develop over the last year or so. But they're a fast team. That's the way they want to play. Even their defense, pinching in, jumping in. You see a lot of the defensemen joining the rush. I mean, that's kind of the way they have to play if they want to win games.
All right. Well, you're kind of like looking into a crystal ball, because that's actually what we want to talk about next. But we are going to take a quick break and be back with more Game Misconduct and Greg Linnelli. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Again, you can follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. We are joined by our friend and a wonderful person, just all around great guy.
Honestly.
Greg Linnelli of Lightning Power Play. And
I didn't pay you guys to say that either.
No, but I will. It better be. It better be.
It is.
Just know we have a change of address, but that's okay.
Okay.
All right. So we talked about Matthew Joseph at the end of last segment, and you alluded to that. You know, the growth of Braden Point, and it's kind of like right now, it's kind of like the tales of two Braden, because you got Braden Point and then you've got Braden Coburn, who's like producing like crazy.
Yeah.
And normally we're talking about Braden Point, but please pontificate on your thoughts on Braden Point, because this kid, he's only been with the majors. You know, I call the Lightning the majors. For a couple seasons, and this kid his foot's been on the gas since he showed up.
He's the best forward on their team.
Wow.
He just is. He's their best forward. I asked a question on my show, it was last week, and I asked a couple of national writers that came on. And, you know, I think people assume because, let's say, Kucherov and Stamkos are, you know, the ones that have the gaudy statistics, particularly Kucherov last year. Stamkos, obviously, his track record of being an elite goal scorer speaks for itself, that because they're really good offensively, that they're the best player forward on the team. So I simply asked the question last week, is being the most complete forward the same thing as being the best forward? Because for me, there's no comparison. Braden Point is the most complete forward.
I like that.
He always is matched up against the other team's top line. Look, sometimes the other line gets the best of them. But more times than not only is he playing great defense along with his line mates, Gordon Johnson, but he's also putting up 30 goals.
Right.
So I think more people around the league are starting to realize that Braden Point is one of the top 10, 15 centers in the game. And I've been making this case, I think, for the last year or so, but I think a lot of people are starting to see it now. I think Braden Point is their best forward.
That is, that's really interesting, because now when you say it that way, I used to cover NFL football for a long time, and I used to argue with people constantly about there's a difference between the greatest player and the best player of all time. And I used my point was always wide receivers. It was always Jerry Rice versus Randy Moss. And I always would say, to me, Randy Moss is a better wide receiver. And the reason why is, it was kind of you may not have had the numbers, but it was everything complete. And now that you actually say your point about Braden Point, it was kind of a little wow. Wasn't expecting that
moment.
We're gonna get cut. It's a great point.
Well, I think, and look, there are people out there that could disagree, and that's fine. You can hit me up on Twitter and go at me at Greg Linnelli if you want to. But I also do the eye test too. I think Braden Point is more of a consistent player, game in and game out. You know, when Kucherov and Stamkos are rolling, they're really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are games, I don't think Kucherov and Stamkos have really set the tone yet this year. Like, I think there are a couple of levels they can get to. You know, I don't think they've hit their stride yet. I mean, you look at, Kucherov's points, and he's averaging a point per game. You're thinking, what are you talking about? But, I don't think he's put together five, six, seven really good games yet. When he does, it's noticeable. It's explosive. look, it's one of the reasons why they signed under the big contract, mm-hmm. along with Stamkos. They obviously feel very good about those guys moving forward. I'm just telling you, when you start talking about the playoffs and who's important at the forward position, who do you have to have on your team to win? I think it's Braden Point, because I think you take him out, I think you lose a lot of defensive responsibilities, but I think you also lose a guy that offensively has become a real key guy for that team. And I think that line in particular has become their best line.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, just signing Yanni Gourde to an extended contract.
Yeah.
I think not only you, but I think, you know, the upper management really sees how important those player, those parts, those mm-hmm. tools are to a complete game. Because like you said, you know, we haven't seen the 5-6 game back-to-back consistency from that top line. But we have seen it from Gourde, Point, and Johnson. That it seems like whenever there's a moment where something can go wrong, Braden Point is there on the right side of the puck, and he gets us out of that like danger.
Well, and the other thing too is before they kind of settled on some of these lines, and they can always change. John Cooper does that. So do all other NHL coaches. I was actually at the point where I was like, you know, why don't you just put Braden Point on the first line and see what you can do with Stamkos and Kucherov? Because mm-hmm. I think Point would force Kucherov and Stamkos to shoot a little bit more. I think that's the one knock on those two guys. I think when they're not going, they're trying to make the perfect play.
Mm-hmm.
I think Point usually makes just the right play. So I think that's why when Palat comes back, hopefully in about 4 weeks or so, I would actually put Palat with the first line and then drop JT Miller down to the fourth. Because I think Palat's game is similar to Point,
mm-hmm.
where he's going to play good defense, he's going to grind it out, but I think he's going to force those guys to get the pucks in the net.
Right.
And then you spread it out, you have Miller back on the fourth line. But there was a time there I thought maybe throw Point back on the first line and see if he can get Stamkos and Kucherov going. But yeah. I think he's found a home there on the second line, which has been really productive.
Yeah, and it's funny you brought up Nikita Kucherov because, you know, he signs the big contract this summer. I don't know if it's a relief or knowing he's going to stay here for an extended period of time, or maybe it's just as simple as his, you know, communication has gotten better because he's able, you know, he's just his language, the English language has gotten better for him. But he just seems to be enjoying himself more. Maybe not so much the game in Ottawa, because I think he was quite angry about something and he gave his stick away mm-hmm. at the end of the second period. Whenever he's not happy with whatever he's producing, he gives his stick away to a fan again along the tunnel. But just like even the game against the Islanders, he scored and he just looks like he's enjoying himself a little bit more. What do you think you can attribute that to?
Millions of dollars in the bank.
Okay, I was like, maybe it's not the money, but maybe it's something else.
Hey, look. Anybody out there that says money can't make you happy, they've never had money. Right?
They're just the poor ones.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'm sure he's in a great spot. I mean, I think anybody on this Lightning team, I mean, if you perform, you're going to get paid. And the Lightning's window to win a Stanley Cup is pretty wide open right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's playing with Stamkos. He's got a really good team around him. I mean, you know, why wouldn't you be excited? You're considered one of the best offensive players in the game. You know, I mean, life's pretty good. You should be happy.
He's just so intense, though. Like, if his stick breaks or something goes wrong or he misses a coverage or some guy gets past him, it was like he internalized it. And he just took it on so much. And I just feel like maybe it's just growth, maybe it's just maturity, but I feel like he's enjoying himself a little bit more this season.
No, he should be. Let's put it this way. He should be.
So if they, when you bring up the, you know, putting Braden Point back on, you know, maybe with Stamkos, you would have to keep Stamkos at center, correct? Because he's kind of made it clear that he won't play wing. Or is that just
that's probably why I wouldn't do it. It was more at the beginning of the year, just to kind of get them going.
Okay.
You know, I think Stamkos has actually been pretty good on faceoffs. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, you can keep him there, but you know, the center has to really not only be the driving force offensively, but, you know, defensively, you've got to be really, really responsive. And we've seen the Lightning pretty much every line they have basically two centermen on each line. So I think it, you know, kind of depends on where the faceoff would be. And, you know, maybe for defensive zone faceoffs, you have somebody else taking the faceoffs rather than Stamkos. So I think there are ways you can kind of juggle things around. But I think Stamkos wants to be at center. You know, I think he feels like he's become a pretty good playmaker the last couple of years. And I think certainly playing with Kucherov, he's certainly done that. I'd like to see that line shoot a little bit more. I think Stamkos started to the last week or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, when you got that shot, you got to shoot it. Can't pass. I mean, on the power play, it's a little different. I mean, they're shooting, they're looking for each other, and it clicks a little bit better. But I think 5-on-5, you know, you have to get a little bit dirty. You got to be a little grittier. And I'd like to see them do that moving forward.
Oh, we're speaking with Greg Linnelli of Lightning Power Play. All right, so Hedman out for a couple games. He's back against Ottawa this past Saturday night, and he gets a goal. I mean, come on, if anybody had any doubt. I mean, he's just, I can't say enough great things about, number one, Victor Hedman, but our defensive, I feel like for so many years we were a broken record. We need to shore up our defense. We need to shore up our defense. And it's just like now it's just clicking. And I have no worries. Yeah. Even, you know, with Slater Cuckoo being in and maybe Strahlman out for a game and Hedman back in. And I just, it's not one of those things that gives me heart palpitations anymore.
They were 5-2 with Hedman being out. McDonough going into the last Ottawa game was, 12 points in 16 games?
Yeah.
He's by the way, guys, been their best defenseman.
I was going to say something. I was going to ask you, we really feel that McDonough's been, like, the catalyst. He's almost been, like, the missing piece. They were how do we figure this out? Oh, we'll trade for Ryan McDonough. And then he comes in, he's like, hey, guys, let me show you how we do this. Because they're all playing incredible, yeah. All of them.
Yeah, he's playing well with Anton Strahlman. That's been the shutdown pair. You know, Victor Hedman, we know, is going to play huge minutes. And, you know, he's obviously their best defenseman overall. But I just think McDonough's gotten off to such a really good start. And then Coburn, I think Braden Coburn is the other guy that kind of sticks out. He's really had a solid first 17 games of the season. And, look, they've got 7 defensemen that can play. And that was the question mark coming in, is if somebody got injured, the depth would be tested.
Right.
Because you basically had Chernak as a guy down at Syracuse that was probably the closest to playing, but if he got called up, there was a chance he was probably going to be the 7th defenseman while Cuckoo was playing, and I'm not sure you wanted him to sit on the bench. So, best of both worlds, I think, right now.
Yeah,
and playing well, and you know, Vasilevskiy, I think, there to certainly, you know, back them up when they break down.
And I was going to say, even Cuckoo, who anybody that listens to our show knows I'm a massive fan of Slater Cuckoo, but, you know, I've been trying to temper the excitement a little bit. But, I mean, he's playing really, really well this year, too. It really is. All of them are you know, maybe not producing goals like crazy, but they're doing their jobs and they're being part of, you know, they're contributing.
Yeah, and, you know, Cuckoo's got the pedigree of being a high first-round pick. I don't know if he's ever going to be a top 4, mm-hmm. at least on this team, but, you know, I certainly think he can play. And, you know, with Anton Strahlman, we don't know how long he's going to be out, but mm-hmm. Cuckoo's going to get at least a few more games. So, you know, you just have to like their progression. I mean, I think that's what you want as an organization, is to have young guys ready to go when need be. And I think the good thing about Cuckoo and some of the other younger guys, if somebody does get injured, you don't have to bring them back and rush them back.
Right.
Yeah.
That guy's playing pretty well. You can just say, look, just sit out for another day and make sure you're 100% coming back.
Yeah, and that's a luxury I feel like we haven't had in a very long time, so I'll take it. All right, so we're going to start wrapping up here with you, Greg, and let you get on with your day. But one thing I've noticed is that on the forwards, you know, a lot of times it's heavy for a couple players, the amount of minutes they're playing. And then for the others, you know, they're just filling in gaps here and there to give those guys a rest. But what I've noticed pretty consistently is that the number of minutes that guys are playing is quite even. And is that just a testament to that we've got 4 lines that can get out there and compete and can score and just the kind of the firepower that we have on every single line?
Yeah, I think so. You know, some of that's dictated on, you know, special teams, guys might get a few more minutes here and there.
Right.
You know, especially on the PK. But fourth line, for the most part, they'll see less minutes than the top three. But, yeah, I mean, if you have a deep team, there's no reason why you need to be playing three lines the most. I mean, it's a long year.
Yeah.
The goal is to win a Stanley Cup. And the way you do that is to preserve yourself a little bit early on while picking up points, which is what they've done. So this is the luxury of having a deep team, guys. Not many teams do. And when you do, take advantage of it. You know, you don't have to play Kucherov 25 minutes a night, Hedman 25 minutes a night. You know, come playoff time, you will.
Right.
But no need to do it in November.
Yeah, and maybe it's just because I think we didn't really have much different of a team last year as far as, you know, players. And so, you know, they were playing, some guys were playing 20 some odd minutes plus minutes, and the other guys weren't playing as many. Do you think this is kind of a shift of them looking at last year, and maybe guys were more tired than others and thinking, you know, let's evenly distribute these minutes earlier in the season so that when we get into the, you know, postseason, these guys aren't as fatigued?
You know, it could be. I also think some guys are performing better than they did last year. Mm. Like, you know, I think Ryan McDonough's playing really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with him playing really well, you know, Anton Stralman's been matched up with him. He's played really well.
Mm-hmm.
Braden Coburn's playing well.
Right.
So I think you want to get those guys on the ice, and I think the more they play well, you just want to even up the ice time. I also think the fourth line is playing pretty well. You know, Cedric Paquette, Ryan Callahan, Adam Ernie, when he's been in there, they're not a liability.
Right.
So you can throw them out there a little bit more. So I just think guys are playing better, and I think John Cooper's wise to get as many guys involved early on, you know, before the season really becomes a grind.
All right, so last question before we finish. We are on a road trip up to the Great White North, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Philly, and then Nashville, which seems a little odd, but whatever, it's in there. So what do you foresee? Because, you know, every time a team comes into our building, they know they're playing a really great team. They're going to bring their best effort. We're going into other guys' buildings who may not be playing as well.
Well, Buffalo's playing outstanding.
Which is... I feel like
crazy.
We're in a twilight zone because it's they've had such a rough couple of years. But so we're going into a couple buildings where their teams are playing really well, and Nashville always gives us fits. So what do you foresee in your crystal ball for us on this road trip?
It's going to be a good challenge. This is a really tough trip. I mean, anytime you go on the road for an extended period of time, it's going to be hard. Buffalo's a lot better than they were last year. Jeff Skinner is somebody to keep an eye on. They brought him over from Carolina. He's scoring goals. They made a couple of other moves, and also in Nets. They're a little bit better this year, so they're going to be better. And again, one of those teams, you know, we talk about, they're going to be ready to go. So Tampa Bay needs to understand that. Then you got Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Pittsburgh has struggled, but, you know, they still got Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Phil Kessel, and they've won the Stanley Cup 2 out of the last 3 years. That's a really good team still. Philadelphia is a place where they've struggled to win games. And it's a 1 o'clock game, which is always weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nashville, some consider them to be the best team in the league. So it's a true test, but there's no reason why Tampa Bay can't come out and, you know, win majority of those games.
Yep. Oh, man, Nashville makes me nervous. I mean...
Yeah, they're a good team.
When they were here a couple of weeks ago, you know, the score didn't really reflect the game. It felt like a playoff game.
Yeah.
They're
deep all the way around, just like Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm. And that Ryan Johansson, he scares the crud out of me, man. That kid is good. And then they got PK Subban. I mean, they're just, wow. Yeah. There are a lot of good teams in the league this year. And it's so funny. You look at the standings right now, and I know it's only early November. Lots can happen. But like Vancouver is up there, and teams that you weren't expecting to see, they're really performing. And then the teams that you were kind of like, well, these guys, you know, kind of are going to be ones to watch, they're not performing as well.
I think for teams, they look at the 25 game mark and say, okay, this is who we are. And I think for a lot of those teams, you know, if you haven't played your best, you're trying to hang on until you get to that 20-25 game mark, and then you have to really kick it into gear because in today's parity-driven league, you just can't fall behind too much. I mean, Florida is, I think, a pretty good example. I mean, they need to start winning some games. They're a good team, but the longer they go just kind of hanging around below 500 as we get closer to Christmas, you know, it's going to take an unbelievable run to get in the playoffs. It's just hard to do in today's game.
Yeah, that when Luongo went down for them, I was really concerned for them, and rightfully so. They really didn't play well until he's come back. And, you know, we've seen a little glimmer, but in the preseason, I was like, oh boy, Florida's going to be tough. And then, you know, just kind of that bad break for them with Luongo. But, you know, like you said, it's still early, the 25-game mark. They're holding on with their fingertips. They had a crazy run last year to be 1 point, I think it was, out of the playoffs. So
it came down to the very last day type of thing.
Anything can happen. Like you said, the parity of the league. Anything can happen, and it's still early. So that's why we love hockey, because, you know, you just never know.
You just never know.
All right, Greg, thank you so much for joining us. We really enjoy speaking with you and getting to talk to you. I feel like we don't get to do it enough. But please remind everybody where they can find you on social media and hear your amazing voice.
My amazing voice?
Yes.
You can hear that Monday through Saturday at 6 o'clock on Lightning Power Play. And then on Twitter, at Greg Linnelli. And if you want to give our Twitter show page a follow as well, go to @LightningPPL. And sometimes we post some poll questions up there, just get you involved a little bit, and then we answer those questions on the air.
All right, we're going to take another quick break on Game Misconduct and be back with more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct, our last segment of the show. You can follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we just had Greg Linnelli on, who we love.
Everybody
I think all of Tampa Bay loves. I hope all of Tampa Bay loves. And
you
if
should.
You don't, you should. So we talked about, you know, kind of the first half of the season is when we get to talk to all of our friends again and kind of look at the team for the first time with them and how they're progressing, which I can't say enough about how they're progressing. Pretty darn good.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really say anything. I mean, we're really nitpicking.
I mean, we have to nitpick. And it's been like this for a few seasons.
Well, the last one maybe. You know, it was a little bit of a rough patch 2 years ago.
But really, it's hard to find things wrong.
I know we're getting really visceral and like really down and dirty.
Yeah,
because it's hard when you have a team this well rounded.
The defense isn't an issue anymore.
I can't complain about the defense anymore.
Penalty kill is on it.
Power play is doing well.
Everything.
I mean, how many shorthanded goals do we have this season already? It's insane.
It's hard to kind of say, you know, what else we, you know, what else can we look in our crystal ball and say this should get fixed.
Right. And if there's something that you're wondering about or something that you have seen that maybe we haven't noticed or touched on, please reach out to us. Twitter is probably the best platform for that. At Game Miz with a Z Conduct. We love getting your tweets. We love hearing what you have to say. Even good or bad or indifferent, you know, it doesn't matter. Just try to be nice. We like, you know, just kind of like Ellen DeGeneres, be kind to one another. She says it at the end of every show. It's kind of like what we like to emanate from here. You know, so don't necessarily be nasty, but, you know, you can make your point without being nasty. Right?
I agree.
So let's talk about, we kind of talked about it with Greg Linnelli about the road trip, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Philly, and then Nashville, because that makes sense. But here's the thing. I really shouldn't nitpick about the travel schedule, because can you imagine putting together a travel schedule like that? It makes my brain hurt.
Well,
just thinking about it.
I think like the fun one from, I don't know if I should say fun, but I think the one that is always like makes the most sense is when they do like Pittsburgh, Philly, New Jersey,
right.
And then they'll do like the Islander, or you know what I
New
mean?
New York,
and
the
then
Island.
You're like, meh,
yeah, makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, but you can drive to all those places within, well, aside from Pittsburgh, but you know, for the most part, it's literally like a
yeah, makes sense. But anyway. Buffalo playing
really good hockey,
really
right
well.
Now.
Like he said, Jeff Skinner, who they got from Carolina, is scoring. They've got a better goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a challenge because they're trying to prove themselves.
Yeah.
They've kind of been.
Especially against the Lightning.
Yeah. But it's no different than when teams come into our building and they want to make a statement. When we come into their building, they want to show that you're not going to get around them. There's a force to be reckoned with. I mean, yeah, so it makes me nervous.
No, yeah, and I do think Buffalo's playing well. I think the interesting one, though, I think the most interesting one.
Okay.
Because I don't even want to think about Nashville. I don't want to go that far in advance
Nashville
right now.
Nashville makes me itch.
I don't want to talk about it. I think Pittsburgh's going to be the most interesting matchup on this one.
And why is that, Dory? Please elaborate for everyone listening.
Greg Lanelli kind of, you know, talked about it, that they're struggling a little bit right now. We've seen them struggle and then win a cup, so whatever.
Yeah, fire their coach in the middle of the season, they win the cup that year, you know, just like normal.
You know, we do have the, you know, Evgeny Malkin and Sid Crosby and Phil Kessel and all these guys.
Chris Letang.
Very, very, very good hockey players. Very, very, definitely, probably what? Would you, I would, at least two of the ones we've named are Hall of Famers.
Absolutely.
If not more.
Absolutely.
But definitely two?
At least two.
Yeah.
Sorry, I accidentally turned my mic off.
At least two of them are. But they're getting up there. They're getting up there in age.
Ouch, Dory.
No, it's okay to say that. It happens. People age. I'm interested to see. Unfortunately, don't we know that? But I'm interested to see how our young guys. I want to see.
Match up.
Braden Point and Matthew Joseph. And Yanni Gourde.
And Anthony Cirelli.
Yes.
Well, Yanni Gourde isn't as young as everybody thinks he is.
He's not. That's fair. He's been around how many years now? Technically.
Couple. I think he's in his late 20s.
Mid-20s or something.
Well, you know, mid-20s is 25.
But let's talk about the Sergachevs and the Cirellis and these.
Matthew Joseph,
yes.
Who I swear, he can turn the burners on from standing still. And it's just like Wile E. Coyote in those cartoons when he has the blast-off skates.
Yes.
It's impressive because, like I said earlier, we have a fast team.
Yeah.
We have one of the fastest teams in the league.
And
Matthew Joseph is faster.
And Greg Lanelli makes a very good argument for Braden Point being the best player on the Lightning.
Complete player.
It's hard. You can't disagree with his points. And again, it's just the way you want to look at it. You look at stats. You look at, you know, overall. So I'm not mad at him for saying that. I've made that argument in the past.
You think he's better than Palat, who you said is going to win that?
Listen.
What is
the Selke.
The Selke?
Listen. Palat and I are struggling as friends. I don't know him. I don't.
No, we don't.
No, I think he really is more complete. And I think Palat is a phenomenal player. I think he's such a well-rounded. But Point's got the speed and he's got the playmaking. Not that Palat doesn't make plays, because there's some of them that they do. And Ryan Callahan and Palat, to me, do. They are creators. But there's something very, very special about Braden Point. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I really
who he'll match up against.
And Matthew, since he's had his coming out party with his, you know, all of his goals recently, I'm really interested to see how these young, fast, skilled, playmaking creators put themselves in the right situation, have saved the tail a time or two when Braden Point can go back and get to these pucks and stuff. I'm interested to see him up against Pittsburgh because I think, you know, again, they're going to be the matchup, I think, is going to be what I think maybe most looking forward to.
Yeah. And don't forget, we still got Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov,
yes!
You know, and
Tyler Johnson's
played really well this
season.
Watch
out for Brayden Coburn.
Yeah. You never know when he's going to put one in the back of the net. But yeah, wow.
It's really interesting. I'm really excited to see that.
All those superstars on one sheet of ice.
Goodness gracious.
I'm going to need a Xanax for this one and Nashville's game.
Let's not talk about that yet.
Okay, we're not there yet.
Yeah,
but
no.
Yeah, I think it'll be a really good litmus test.
Oh, yeah. I think this is good.
Even with Pittsburgh struggling a bit.
They're still who they are.
They're still, like you said, two future Hall of Famers on that one team.
At least. Probably more.
Wow.
It's going to be interesting. It's almost like young. I don't want to say young versus old because, listen, we've got guys up getting up there in age as well.
Yeah.
But it's just the young firepower that we have versus their veteran fire. I mean, I really like the way Tampa, you know, we're not a young team. We're not an old team. We're a very well-balanced team. We've got guys, you know, super young guys like Joseph going, Sorelli going all the way up, you know, to Stroman and Coburn and Callahan. I love the way that this team is together. I love the way they're put together. And I'm really interested to see what these young guys, especially Braden Point and Matthew Joseph, go up against the, you know, future Hall of Famers over there in Pittsburgh with their millions of cups.
And then they're off to Philadelphia, which I wonder if we're bringing Thunderbug with us so he can meet Gritty.
Ugh. I'm just so blah over that. I just can't get used to it.
He's like in my nightmares.
And the sad thing is, and I kind of feel, my heart kind of feels bad for Gritty. He's still struggling a little bit.
What do you mean?
Well, he's, you know, there's still a little bit of mishaps going on.
Oh,
you know,
he's still getting his footing.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's the googly eyes. Maybe he can't really focus on where he's going.
It looks like, do you remember the Muppets?
Yeah.
You know where I'm going.
Do I remember the Muppets? Which one does he look like? Because he looks like an
animal.
Giant... Oh, animal.
Yeah, he looks like a deranged animal, and that's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, because animal's
pretty deranged.
I don't know,
the thing scares me. He scares me. It does. Whatever. I was born there, and they used to be really, really, really impressive and really good. And I would like to see them. Not that I'm a fan of theirs, but I would like to, because I'm not. But I'd like to see, you know, get them
together.
They're Gritty together.
Yeah, well, Gritty and the team maybe a little bit. It's always a tough building to go into and play. And for your heart and your mind's sake, we're not going to talk about Nashville, the last game on the road trip.
I just need a break from them. They're becoming like one of those teams that I'm like, oh yeah, Nashville, you think you're so good? Well, you are.
Well, they are. All right, so we just want to kind of touch on something that happened earlier this week. The Chicago Blackhawks coach, Joel Quenneville. I know you say Quenneville.
It's Quenneville.
Quenneville.
Or Q.
Coach Q. Was let go by the team, released by the team. Haven't had such a great year. They are kind of rebuilding, officially rebuilding. But it kind of didn't affect our team, but it kind of put John Cooper at the top of a list again.
He is now the most tenured coach in the NHL.
With one team.
With one team.
Which is crazy. And he's been with us for 7 years?
7 years. It doesn't feel, I don't know. It's kind of like, really? 7 years? It feels like it was yesterday to me.
I know. Coach Cooper was hired in March 2013.
Unreal. Unreal. So,
after him is Paul Maurice, who's coached Winnipeg since January 2014. Peter Laviolette, who coaches for Nashville, Dory's nightmare.
Don't want to talk about it.
Since May 2014. So,
How about that?
And 8 coaches have been hired in the last 12 months alone.
Crazy.
A huge turnover.
It is a huge turnover.
And a couple seasons ago, nobody lost their job.
And what's even crazier is this. Think about all the coaches. You probably have a good 20 coaches on the hot seat.
Yeah.
Just because you have guys like Joel Quenneville and Alain Vigneault. And I mean, there are a lot of good coaches.
They're just kind of hanging out.
Getting some golf in.
Yep.
And could be coaching next year.
And actually, 2 coaches were let go last week.
Okay.
John Stevens in LA was fired as well.
Yes.
So 2 coaches, 1 week. And, you know, making, you know, John Cooper the longest tenured NHL coach with one team right now at 7.
And Quenneville was a mentor to John Cooper. John Cooper did release kind of a statement. I guess it would be like releasing a statement, but he said, he has been a mentor to me. There is no question. He has got a lot of things on his fingers I don't have. The envy of many coaches. To be able to say I coached against him in the Stanley Cup Finals is an honor in itself.
What a lovely statement. And for your mentor to have to be let go in order for you to be the longest tenured coach in the NHL with one team is kind of serendipitous, I guess you would say. It's one of those things that happens in the league where you're just kind of scratching your head. Yeah. Like, wow. And Coach Cooper has had really good production.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and not only just the production with our big, you like to call them the big leagues.
Yes, the big leagues, but with the minors.
Even when he was coaching
Syracuse.
Yeah.
And Norfolk. And,
yep.
Yeah.
He really understands these young players.
He's a player's coach.
Not that Sergachev wouldn't be a super, you know, or any of these guys, but I think it's John Cooper's way of handling and developing them when they come to the bigs. That it's like, wow, these young players in Tampa, I think a lot of that is John Cooper, and it gets overlooked a lot.
Yeah. So congratulations to John, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's congratulations.
It's a fun little fact.
It's a fun fact.
And, you know, we never want to promote a coach losing their job, but just saying that there are a lot of coaches that are really amazing coaches that maybe the time has just run out for them with that specific team. Mm-hmm. They're hanging out. And waiting for a job or, you know, looking for something new. And, you know, you just... All right. So enjoy the road trip. We'll be back with more Game Misconduct next week. Don't forget, you can follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Thanks so much for joining us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.